This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and welcome to New Beginnings. On the show this week, we welcome Dr. Michael Osterholm, epidemiologist. He'll be giving us a current update with COVID-19. We have finance information from Leibel Sternbach. Cassie Crandall's here, too. Plus, a message from the Reverend James Stacy from Unity South Twin Cities. We also stop by the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center and visit with Kitty Harris, a property manager there. All this and more on New Beginnings, and our show starts right now. Now's my favorite time of the program when we turn our attention to talk finance with Leibel Sternbach. Leibel is an amazing author. He is the Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. So, Leibel, let's pick up on that discussion where we started last week.
You really have me concerned about how to really protect myself from elder abuse, from people who are just scamming, who are really, really sharp at separating individuals from their money. I'm wondering, Leibel, have you ever been scammed in this way?
I have been scammed this way.
Really?
I had, it nearly made me go bankrupt. This was back in 2011. I had a client who was, you know, giving us job after job. And he kept giving us, you know, this was, you know, the this was, I don't know if you remember, it was like, you know, the market, the economy was just recovering from 2008, but things were still very tight. And this guy came, you know, came to us, he found us, and he was giving us these big orders. And usually I'd be a little skeptical, but, you know, he was talking the talk and walking the walk, and it seemed fine. And his credit card was going through. And then, you know, a month into the relationship, he's like, you know, his credit card got declined. And I was like, you know, what, you know, the credit card got declined. What do you want us to use? And he gave me a credit card with a different address and a different person's phone number on it, and a different person's name and a different person's address. And I'm like, you know, who is this person? He's like, oh, that's my business partner. I'm like, well, we, you know, want to get a signed agreement. We want to, you know, talk to them to verify this is a large purchase. And somehow this person was able to convince me over a period of like 2 months that it was okay for me to proceed. He kept coming up with very legitimate sounding reasons, and he would produce documents for me that made me go, yeah, okay, this is, you know, this makes sense. This is okay. It's his business. We can go forward with this. Fast forward 6 months, 9 months, I don't remember what it was, but all of a sudden the bank started pulling money out of my account. And I called them up and I'm like, what's going on here? And he said, oh, well, those transactions that you did back, you know, 6 months ago, a year ago, for this person, they were fraud. And they reported it to their credit card company, and so we're reversing it. And
oh no.
Yeah. And over a period of time, it was like every single month it was something that was like, you know, $10,000-$15,000 was being pulled out. But this wasn't, you know, when it's being pulled out that way, it's your profit, right, that's being pulled out. And so now you have to make up not what you lost, but, you know, twice that or three times that in order to be able to make it back. And so we were working, you know, three times harder, four times harder just to break even because of this. And it, you know, you would think, right, me working with financial advisors, super savvy, dealing with this all the time, but he was able to say the right things that made me believe. And then he just disappeared. He just disappeared. The credit card companies, the cops, nobody ever found who this person is. He never, apparently none of the information he gave anybody was ever legit. He bought a list of stolen credit cards and was just using them.
Wow. So how does a person dig themselves out of a situation like that once they realize that, oops, okay, I just got scammed? What do you do next?
So I would say really the first thing and the hardest thing is to accept that you've been scammed. Because it is that, I think, is the hardest thing to accept, that the relationship that you've developed with this person over a period of time. And I think it's important to say that, right? It's it isn't just you got a pop-up on your screen and it was a scam. It wasn't just an email from Nigeria. It was you developed a relationship with another person who was on the other side of that phone who was talking to you for a long period of time, who knew intimate details about you, who you shared laughs and cries and all that stuff with. They were doing it for their own purposes and for their own personal gains. And you got something out of it, but it was really a one-way street. And so I think accepting that is the first part, and that's the hardest part, because a lot of people, and I've heard older people say this, you know, they're at home, they're lonely, these people call, they develop a relationship with them. Sometimes it's multiple people, because once you get on one of these lists and they're like, oh, we can get money out of them, they sell your information. And now you become more valuable and more people start calling you.
Wow.
Then you have this whole community surrounding you of these people who are telling you that you're this amazing person and you're doing great and they're going to build this a wonderful life with you and they can't wait to meet you. But they have no intention of doing that. And they're giving you, you know, they're just pushing that dopamine button in your brain nonstop.
So how much of this is reported? I'm assuming in the scenario that you just outlined about yourself, did you report it? And do you think that there's an underreporting of these kinds of scams? And if so, why is that?
It's a great question. So in the scam, you know, I was kind of like on the opposite end of the scam, so to speak, that, you know, so the elder, you know, older people, you know, they're the ones whose credit cards are getting stolen and who are giving the money. And I was
right
on the other side where it was being, I was somewhere in the middle, but he was using me to help facilitate scams. And I don't know what he was doing. But I mean, in reporting it, the credit cards, the cops knew about it because the individual people whose credit cards were stolen were reporting them. And when I looked into what my options were, it was like, you know, get in line, right? The credit card company is giving back their money. The credit card company wrote it off because to them, it wasn't even worth pursuing. They just accept that this type of stuff happens. And then, you know, basically everyone else is left holding the bag. Now, those people who, you know, it was their credit cards that were stolen, they're lucky, right? Credit cards will give you your money back. But how many people have had to give Bitcoin or they've given, checks or cash or money orders? You don't get any of that money back and it's untraceable. So first step is, admitting that that happened. Second step is file a police report, right? If you've been involved or if you even suspect that the relationship that you have, right, if you're being asked to do something that doesn't seem 100% kosher, just call the cops and ask. Every police department has a financial fraud division. There's also, you can call the local FBI office. There's, you know, financial crimes or cyber crimes. And they'll walk you through it. They have people who specialize in this. And they'll tell you, is this legit? Is this not legit? This is what you should do. But step number one, right? File a police report, because until you file a police report, you can't do anything. Step number two, contact your banks, contact, you know, your financial institutions, because chances are that once you cut off your ties from the scammers, they're going to try to use the information they have to pull money out of your banks. So you want to, you know, change your accounts. You want to put restrictions on them. And I highly recommend this. I highly recommend that you get a family member involved who oversees, you know, who has access to your finances, who can go through so that if something happens in there, if money comes out, or if you accidentally give money to somebody and, you know, you get caught up again in another relationship like that, that someone will be there to see that and they can help protect you.
We're talking about scams, everyone, elder abuse and dating scams. And you talked about getting a family member involved. And I recall reading a report that says if you involve a family member and it's a husband and wife, that each other are the worst person to get involved. You need a third person in order to help. Do you buy into that?
For solving the problem, husband and wife is tough, right? Because husband and wife, it's a very intimate relationship. And that means that that as much as you love them, you hate them, right? And there's that, so there's that constant tug and pull. And when you're dealing with, you know, how do you go to your loved one, your spouse, and say, I was feeling lonely, and so I started talking to an internet man and gave him, you know, $20,000, or I gave him our life savings, right? That's not a conversation you can really have easily.
I thought I was planning for our future, and look what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And the temptation to try to dig yourself out, which they, again, these scammers are really great at engineering the social situation. So they will make you believe that there is an out, that they just need a little bit more money and then everything is going to be okay. And that's how they get you deeper and deeper into the hole, and to give them more and more money, because it starts out with $50. I just need a bus ticket. And then it's $300. You know, I need a plane ticket, or I got arrested and I need to post bail. And then it's, they're holding all of my possessions and they won't let me out of the country. And then, you know, you give them that money and it's there, you know, they come up with some other excuse, right? And it just keeps escalating and keeps escalating. And at this point, it's, well, as soon as he comes back, as soon as he's has access to his money, which he'll get as soon as I give him this money, he's going to be able to give me all my money back, right? Mm-hmm. Be able to do that.
And is there a special hotline number that we can call? And do you have reports with Yields for You that speak to this?
So I do not have reports, but I should create some. I should definitely create some. In terms of hotlines, the FBI does have a hotline for financial crimes. So you can go to their website, you can Google it, and it'll come up. But your local police department and the FBI, those are the two people you want to contact. And your local police department is probably going to be more helpful. FBI, though, they do have counselors, right? So once you file that police report, go to the FBI, harass the FBI to get them to open up a case. Once they open up a case, they can send someone out to talk to you, right? And if this happened to someone you love, right, let's say your spouse was the victim of this, or your parent, you get them to file that police report, and then you call the FBI, and you have the FBI come out to counsel them, because as a victim of these crimes, right, you really have to think of yourself as an abuse victim. It is no different than somebody who has been in an emotionally abusive relationship. You've been manipulated, you've been tormented, you've been played with, and you start to doubt your reality. And you need somebody who understands that and understands what you're going through to be able to talk to you about that. And so there are people who can help. You just need to reach out and find them and be a little persistent.
Libo, we just have a couple of minutes left, not even that. But what advice would you give to folks who are afraid to report elder abuse or dating scams, or admit to anyone, even law professionals, that someone has taken their money and it's because of something that individual has done?
You need to not be thinking about yourself, right? And this is the trap that most people fall into. It's, well, I already lost my money, I'm okay with losing it. It's not about you. It's about everyone else. Think about your friend who's going to lose all their money and what will happen to them, right? And it's not just that friend. It's all of your friends. Because for every person who doesn't talk about it, there's so many more who are experiencing the same thing. And so if you come out and say it, it gives one more data point to the FBI, to law enforcement, to be able to narrow in on these people and shut them down. And the more that we normalize this and talk about it and say, this is something that's happening in our society, this is something that we experience, the less they're going to be able to do this to us. And so you need to speak up, not just for yourself, but for everyone else who is a victim and is also afraid to speak up, or thinks that they're the only one who this is happening to. It's the only way we can stop this.
Thank you, Libel. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. Libel's website is libelonfire.com. That's libelonfire.com. And more New Beginnings is straight ahead.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
And joining us now is Kitty Harris, who is the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. Kitty, it's always wonderful to talk with you. How are things going this morning?
Good morning, Freddie. Things are going amazing, and it's always a pleasure to be here with you as well.
You're really back up in full swing or almost there. Also understand that you've got a really big event that really encompasses the entire community.
Absolutely. So we are excited to finally, over at Cora McCorvey, start to offer some more of our community programs again. And so we have been hosting the second Monday of every month. We have been hosting our Sing Out in conjunction with Alive and Kickin'. And so we are excited to bring back our signature event, which is called Neighbors Night Out. It's a VIP event, and it's going to be held on Thursday, June 9th. And what makes this event so exciting is that we take this time once a year to gather the community, and we kind of go on what I would call a senior field trip.
A senior field trip.
So what that entails is Alive and Kickin', which is our on-site partner, they host for this community to come out to see a preview of their annual show. So this year's theme is called Life is a Cabaret, and this special invitation is only for this community. And so we go out. They provide buses for us to take the community out to their venue, and we go out and we just have a night of food, dancing, singing, storytelling, and it's just truly an amazing experience.
Everybody, we're talking with Kitty Harris, a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. Tell folks about Alive and Kickin' for those who don't know who they are by now.
So for those who don't know, Alive and Kickin' is a senior rock group that's housed at Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. You have to be 62 or and up to be a member of the group. And they go out throughout the Twin Cities and they perform at different venues, singing various genres of music from Michael Jackson to Queen to Whitney Houston and everything in between. And so they infuse music with storytelling to just honor the seniors that are part of their cast. And so every year they give a free concert for this community. We haven't been able to do it since COVID, so we're very excited. This is the first time that we're able to bring this concert back and go out and just have an amazing time. And so these tickets are limited. So I do want to make sure that I say that the tickets are limited. So people do need to call and reserve their free tickets by Thursday, June the 3rd with me. And once we reach our number, unfortunately, we will not be able to accommodate any more people.
Interesting. So what is that number to attend the event that's happening June 3rd?
So in order to the event's going to be on Thursday, June 9th. And
attend,
people need to call 212-344-2209. We will have buses that will load from Cora McCorvey at 4:30 on June 9th. And so that's why it's important for people to call, to register with me so that I can put their names down, see if they need the free transportation that is provided, and so that they know to be here on time. Because we do leave and go out so that we can get our program started, because we have a welcome party, we have a senior fair, we have food, and we do all of this before we have a fabulous show.
Are there health protocols that will be in place for that particular event?
There's not any specific health requirements. Of course, Live and Kickin', the cast, they are still under their COVID protocols as they're practicing and going out through the community, but we don't have any specific screening things put in place at this time. So right now, the only requirement is that people need to give me a call at 612-344-2209 and reserve their seat for Thursday, June 9th. And we'll be leaving here at 4:30 and going out on our wonderful senior field trip to have a fabulous night.
All right. A night out with Alive and Kickin'. Kitty Harris, I can't thank you enough for being with us this morning. And how can we get more information about all the activities at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center?
I encourage people to visit our Facebook page and look under Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, or they can give our front desk a call at 612-344-2221.
That's Giddy Harris, and this is New Beginnings. I bet you didn't know that if you're mentally drained, you should eat chocolate. Yes, mental arithmetic can become easier after eating chocolate. Researchers testing the impact of different foods on brain performance found that flavanols, a compound found in cocoa, increases the flow of blood into the brain. This, they claim, makes certain mental functions like basic math easier to do. It also means people feel less mentally drained after a long day. And can you guess? Of all living creatures, pigs have the most of these, while cats have the least. What are they? We'll tell you the answer in just a few seconds. They say, and you know how they are, that placebos work even when you know they don't contain medicine. A review of 5 studies found that open-label placebos, those that patients know contain no active medication, can improve symptoms in a range of conditions. In one study, chronic lower back pain patients openly given dummy pills to add to their existing treatments reported an average of 30% pain reduction. And instant hotness. You can deny it all you want, ladies, but research found your temperature goes up when touched by a man. Literally. Researchers snapped heat-revealing pictures of young, straight women while they had a conversation with a man. When the man reached out and touched their arm, their skin temperature shot up. It wasn't noticeable to the people standing around the woman, but pictures proved a temperature jump. And how about the cost of being in a wedding party? A new survey is finding that the cost to be a bridesmaid or a groomsman is around $825. Of the people who were surveyed, 50% incurred debt to participate in a wedding. And back to our question, can you guess? Of all the living creatures, pigs have the most of these, while cats have the least. What are they? Blood types. Pigs have 16 and cats have 2. And it's wacky, but it's true. 2 men were charged after forcing an alligator to drink beer. It's the 5th anniversary of one of the strangest wildlife stories ever. 2 South Carolina men were charged with harassing an alligator after forcing the creature to drink beer. The men were on a dirt road near Hardyville when they saw the young alligator crossing the road. The duo picked it up and poured beer down its throat before releasing it. It later swam away into a nearby pond. The 2 men uploaded pictures of their antics to social media, which is how the officers from the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources got wind of their crime. Just for fun this week on New Beginnings. And now it's time to hear from my friends at Unity South Twin Cities, located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington, Minnesota. They have 2 services at 9 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. The Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. Let's join them now for a program already in progress, a lesson entitled An Elegant Sufficiency.
Don't wait for one day when you're smarter, richer, more beautiful, trimmer. Quit waiting. Be what you can be in the moment in which you find yourself. I like an old story about the woman who told the minister after the Sunday service. She said, "This church is going to be so well provided for when my ship comes in." And the minister said, "Oh, when did you set sail?" She had this idea that someday all this good was going to come in. And the minister brought her right back to the moment. "Carol, when did you set sail?" The second point, give up excuses. Give up excuses. Sooner or later you will come to realize that it's not what you lose on the way that counts. It's what you do with what you still have. It's what you do in the moment. We all can do something. A famous minister in the 19th century said, "We all can't do everything, but each one of us can do something." We can't do everything, but we can do something. And we live in a time in our world where it's overwhelming the needs, what people are living through in Ukraine. And if you try in your mind to solve that whole problem, what happens? You give up. I can't deal with this. But if you think in the moment, what can I do in this moment? I can envision peace. I can take an action of contributing to their welfare through numerous charitable agencies. You can't solve the whole problem, but you can do something. Imagine if about 2.5 billion people on this planet decided all at once, I can do something. And they all did it. It would be like Jesus feeding the multitude. The help and the assistance that would pour in for those people that are without shelter, without adequate food. We can all do something. Dr. Emily Cady, author of Unity's Lessons in Truth, wrote, "Can you not see that this indwelling God, this indwelling power, is your holiness, your insight, and your health, your life and vitality, is not also your sustenance and support? Truly the daily bread for whatever you need, keeping our attention that God is, as she called it, our all-sufficiency." Well, let's go for a moment into the silence so that we each have an opportunity to reflect on this idea of enough. Not enough for next year, not enough for even next month, but enough for right now. So I invite you to close your eyes, relax into the presence of Spirit. You may feel it within as the beautiful rhythm of your breathing. Just relax into that rhythm of life that is sustaining you. And consider, what am I grateful for right now? This very day, what is enough for me this hour? Now consider, how can I use this blessing, this enoughness, this provision in the moment? How can I use it? How can I allow it to flow through me? How can I share it? How is it multiplied? God, you give us our daily bread. What is that daily bread for me now? In the coming hour, be grateful. Be aware of it. Share it. Let it work through you. It is truly enough.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Thank you for listening to New Beginnings, and now it's time for It Happened This Week. More funerals are happening for victims of last week's Texas school massacre. A 10-year-old boy was laid to rest earlier. He was among 19 students gunned down in a classroom. One of the two teachers killed was also buried with her husband, who died of a broken heart. The Texas Department of Public Safety says the police chief of Uvalde School District is no longer cooperating with the state's investigation into the response to the mass shooting at the elementary school there. Officials say Pete Arredondo is yet to respond to a request for a follow-up interview with Texas Rangers looking into the actions of law enforcement at Robb Elementary. The Supreme Court is also blocking a social media law in Texas. It requires states to post all content that expresses a viewpoint. The ruling means the sites cannot take down content as they see fit. And Russia's nuclear forces are conducting drills northeast of Moscow. The Russian Defense Ministry says that around 1,000 military personnel are training in intense maneuvers using more than 100 100 vehicles, including mobile intercontinental ballistic missile launchers. And Hurricane Agatha is leaving a deadly trail of damage behind in Mexico. People were swept away in their homes when rivers overflowed banks. Others were buried under mud and rocks, and right now the death toll is up to 11 as remnants of Agatha could hit Florida this weekend. And Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says she was wrong last year about the risk of inflation. Inflation is at a 40-year high in the United States, but in March of 2021, Yellen said rising inflation posed only a small risk. On CNN, she admitted she was wrong about the path inflation would take and blamed high prices on unanticipated and large shocks to the economy and supply bottlenecks that she didn't fully understand at that time. President Biden met with Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell and vows to give the Fed space to address rising consumer prices. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell. Please welcome to our New Beginnings program Dr. Michael Osterholm, who is no stranger to our audience. He is an epidemiologist, and he advised the president on all things health with specific emphasis on COVID-19. And he says that many people have the wrong idea that the CDC is saying that this epidemic is over.
Well, first of all, let me defend the CDC in the sense that they were trying to find a way to measure what I was just talking about. One, that actually addresses how many infections are occurring in the community. And number two, what is the impact of those infections in terms of severe illness, hospitalizations, and deaths? And I think we would all agree we could have widespread transmission of community of disease X, like the common cold. And it's of little public health consequence because virtually no one dies from it. On the other hand, we could have a virus that, as we saw earlier in the pandemic, only infects a small percentage of us at any one point. But the severity of the illness is really very, very real. And it causes us to actually have challenges with providing health care. Well, and those two scenarios really are what this is all about, is try to find a way to describe how much transmission and what's its impact. And so I have to, I think, cut CDC some slack here, but it also means, as you pointed out, many people misunderstand these various measures and have come to the conclusions we're done. So if you look at CDC's community level map and compare it to the community COVID transmission map, these are two different ones, you'll see very, very stark differences. The two maps are based on the different metrics I just mentioned, and it's obvious these metrics impact the picture that is painted when you look at them side by side. Interestingly, on the website, the CDC has a statement that reads, and I quote, "The CDC recommends use of COVID-19 community levels to determine the impact of COVID-19 on communities and take action. Community transmission levels are provided for healthcare facility use only," unquote. So their new community levels map characterizes the COVID levels in communities as either low, medium, or high, which appears as green, yellow, or orange, respectively. The high, medium, low gradient is first based on whether the number of new cases per 100,000 population over the past 7 days is 200 or more, and then either the 7-day total of new hospital admissions per 100,000 population or the 7-day average percentage of inpatient beds being used by COVID-19 positive patients, depending on which of these two is higher. So if a county had fewer than 200 reported cases per 100,000 and fewer than 10 new hospitalizations per 100,000 or less than 10% of their patient beds being used by COVID patients, they're considered at low risk. If they have more than 200 cases per 100,000, they're either medium or high level, depending on if there are 10 or more new hospital admissions per 100,000 or if more than 10% staff beds are being used by COVID patients. As we've discussed, the case numbers that are being reported cannot be trusted today. So basing community COVID levels on the case numbers that are being reported means that the map also cannot be trusted. I don't have any faith in this map, but it's not a function that CDC is trying to misrepresent the data. It's just that things have changed dramatically over the course of the last 4 to 6 months with regard to testing, availability of testing, people's willingness to be tested, and those results getting reported. So as far as I'm concerned, I think this is a huge challenge. So for example, the CDC's community levels map for last week showed that 82% of counties in the U.S. had low levels of COVID-19, 14% had medium, and only four had high levels of COVID-19. Eric Topol mentioned this overwhelmingly green map in his essay, writing that the CDC propagates delusional thinking that community levels are very low, or as my friend Peter Hotez called, the field of greens, while the real and important data convey that the transmission is very high throughout most of the country. I fully agree with Eric and Peter. We are seeing major transmission. This map is no longer relevant. It's providing a false sense that the pandemic is over. This is so far from the truth, and the CDC's own transmission map illustrates this. The community transmission map shows a completely different picture. In this map, transmission risk is characterized as low, moderate, substantial, or high, and appears in color gradients, low being blue, moderate is yellow, substantial is orange, and high is red. Transmission risk is determined by two metrics, the number of new cases per 100,000 in the past 7 days, and the percent of positive tests that are being done in the past 7 days. If these two do not match, the higher level is the one selected. Well, the community transmission map shows that 52% of the counties, which is the majority of counties in the U.S., have high levels of community transmission, based largely on the testing data. 16% are substantial, 22 moderate, and just 9 are low. The map is largely red and orange, a vastly different picture than the nice, pretty green one that the CDC recommends that the public look at to determine the impact of COVID on their community. This second map is far more realistic in terms of depicting the current state of the pandemic in the U.S. So yes, these metrics do provide a false sense of hope that could ultimately be very dangerous in terms of the public's perception of what they need to do to protect themselves. We need to be careful with our messaging, and basing risk assessment off unreliable metrics is certainly not the way we want to go about it. I wish CDC would address this as soon as possible and help us all understand what we're all experiencing right now. COVID seems to be everywhere.
Thank you, Doctor. That's Dr. Michael Osterholm, and this is New Beginnings.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Now it's time to see what's going on for the new beginners out there. Let's bring in Three Things with Cassie Crandall.
Thanks, Freddie. Hi there. It's Cassie with your Three Things. Now, thing number one, I know, I talk about movies way too much. I apologize in advance, but I have to talk about Maverick again because I actually saw it. My husband and I went and saw it this past weekend. Loved it. There are very few movies that I would actually go and see again in a movie theater. I would go and see that again, probably a few times. Maverick was awesome. If you remember Top Gun from the 80s and you liked that, you are going to be ecstatic about Maverick. I highly recommend it. Get out there and see it. Thing number two, it's summer in Minnesota. Aren't you excited? Except, don't we try to cram everything into those short 3.5 months of summer that we get? Weddings, baby showers, graduations, grad parties. Oh my gosh, everything gets packed into summer. And then we want to have our own little vacation time too. It just seems like every weekend is so full of stuff to do. But it's a great time of year in Minnesota. Enjoy those 11,000 plus lakes. Yes, in case you haven't heard, the land of 10,000 lakes is probably closer to 12 or 13,000. But when you're getting out there enjoying the beautiful summer weather in Minnesota, make sure you wear sunscreen. Just for me. Thanks. And my third thing this week, it's a little quote by Robert Tew. Every time you get upset at something, ask yourself, if you were to die tomorrow, was it worth wasting your time being angry? It's actually a philosophy very similar to this that I believe my husband and I use quite well in our marriage, and that is when one of us gets upset about something, we try to think, well, is whatever I'm upset about going to matter a year from now or 5 years from now? And undoubtedly, every time we ask that question, the answer is no, it's not going to matter. So there's no point being that angry about it. Let it go, talk about it, move on. And here's to a healthy, happy marriage and a healthy, happy weekend and a great week ahead. We'll see you next time. For New Beginnings, I'm Cassie Crandall.
Thanks so much, Cassie. We'll talk to you again next week.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell, and thank you so much for being with us this week on New Beginnings. And did you know that today is National Say Something Nice Day? We have an opportunity to make today an extra pleasant one for everybody. The purpose of this holiday is to counteract bullying and the lack of civility and common courtesy that is growing among people in today's world. Hopefully, the practice of saying something nice today will continue into all tomorrows. When we were young, many of us often heard, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. One of the many reasons our parents taught us that is that because once we say those words, we can't take them back, no matter how true we think they might be. We all know someone whose true nature is kinder than most. Perhaps we even wish we could emulate them more than we do. Do they pay compliments or do they follow the old saying? Perhaps a little bit of both. But there are a few other lessons we can learn from generally nice people. They genuinely listen to others and tend to put others first. When they pay a compliment, it isn't usually practice. Their sincerity is felt by the receiver. And here are today's words of the wise. Life is too short to be little. Oh, did you catch that? Life is too short to be little. You can find more information about Words of the Wise online and also at FreddieBell.com. Hi again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. And with us right now is Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects, a career search and career help company. He turns candidates into contenders. His website is rippleconnects.com. You can find him by telephone at 763-438-1621. We jokingly say that that's the POTS line. Stands for the plain old telephone system. Joe McKenzie is here with us this weekend. We're talking about strategies for our 2022 graduates as they begin their career. And as that happens, first of all, Joe McKenzie, I'm sure we want to say congratulations. But many graduates find themselves on the precipice of something that's really kind of scary.
It is. The world's changed underneath them. Many of the graduates in post-secondary programs have had to, you know, be part of the learning from a distance. My 20-year-old triplets, I have two that are graduating from two different programs, and they've had to learn differently. But they've learned a lot about themselves and in that process. So you're absolutely right, Freddie. It was no normal times for many of the graduates that we're speaking to today or family members of graduates today. To be honest, Freddie, I really appreciate what many of those graduates really had to lean in and work through a lot of adversity. And it's unfortunate my kids didn't even get a chance to walk across the high school graduation stage. Mm. But that doesn't stop them from looking forward and knowing they can overcome adversity. So I can speak firsthand as a father of triplets that they're ready for these careers. They had to work through a lot. There's no doubt.
They have had to work through a lot, and the world is a little different. But as you've outlined and will be outlining today, some of the key components of a job search and career are not that different, even though the world is a little different than it was 3 years ago.
That's right. A job search, getting into your career, there's all kinds of adversity that gets thrown at you. Me and you have both had to work through adversity in our careers at the beginning and the middle and towards our second halves. There's no doubt adversity is always going to be there. But it also shows that they can adapt. They adapted to a learning style. Maybe they got to work remotely. Maybe they got to work with remote teams. So there's a lot of different angles, aspects to this, Freddie, that I think will be beneficial to those graduates that are entering the workforce or their next program in 2022.
So what would you suggest to a graduate? They've walked across the stage. Maybe it was a virtual presentation of them into the new phase of their careers. What would be the first start that you would suggest if they were to come to you and say, Joe McKenzie, I've heard about you. I've heard you talk about Ripple Connects, how you turn candidates into contenders. What would be the first thing that you would suggest to that candidate?
I would say you're looking at a 40-50 year career ahead of you. Start now to build out your invaluable bench of career advocates. Hmm. You know, I've talked about that for several years at New Beginnings. A graduate may not know that others can help bring the best out of us. Our connections and our trusted advisors and advocates can unearth opportunities in the hidden job market. So to that, start building out your bench of career advocates now. It could be fellow classmates. Hmm. It could be people that you worked on your senior project. It could be instructors and professors from your college. And, of course, friends and family or anywhere you've done volunteering with. Those invaluable bench of advocates are going to win the day at some point in your career. Now's the time to really focus on who's going to be on that bench or who's going to be on your bench.
That's interesting. I can recall at my daughter's college graduation, we were in an elevator, and it happened to be one of her professors from her career major, or college career major, I should say. And she goes, oh, my goodness, your daughter, she is just wicked smart. Now, that was a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, and that is one person with whom she stays in contact today. Is that what you're talking about, Joe McKenzie?
Absolutely. That is a perfect example of that relationship, that professional relationship that's built, that network connection. It sounds as though this person is on your daughter's bench of career advocates. That is a great example of it, and continue, to build out that. We've all benefited from it. But, I look at my 20-year-old self and I think about it. I didn't have those advocates. I always felt like I had to do it alone. Mm-hmm. And I came from a family of 8 siblings. What was I thinking? I was volunteering. It was built in, but maybe I was just not open to it. But here I want to stress the importance of that.
So what about those folks who say, well, Joe McKenzie, I wasn't in a Greek organization. I was not in a sorority. I was not in a fraternity. And those people have built in folks who can help them in their career. In fact, there's a roster. What do you say to those folks who find themselves on the outside of the Greek society?
Well, think creatively. You may have volunteered. You may have been involved in your faith organization. You may have been involved in a senior project or some kind of school activities that there's probably someone that you know. And don't always look at it as someone that's exactly your age. This could be where you could even potentially find a mentor. I found my first mentor when I was into my 40s. I don't know why I waited too long, because the benefits of having that mentor really accelerated my career growth. So, think creatively. And you only have to, Freddie, start with one or two people. Mm-hmm. I always look at everybody. That one person always knows probably on average 250 people. So if I have two people on my bench of career advocates, there's potential that there's more that's going to ripple out from there.
Very interesting. And you said strive early for job opportunities. What do you mean when you say strive early?
Early for professional growth. Mm. I think get that stretchiness of your growth. Get out of your comfort zone. Don't always go after just a title or compensation. Put yourself out there to grow, to work on projects that really stretch you, your creativity, your problem solving, your leadership, and getting you out of that comfort zone, because of that experience, that compensation will follow. I've talked about this for many years. Lou Adler writes the Essential Guide for Hiring and Getting Hired. He talks about strive for growth. Take a job that's going to give you that growth, and compensation will follow. I think graduates, this is a great opportunity in your 20s to stretch yourself professionally and leadership-wise. Look for growth, and that will serve you well going forward for the next 40, 50 years of your career.
Very interesting. We're talking with Joe McKenzie about the strategies for our 2022 graduates, and congratulations to all the graduates who are listening this morning. So the takeaways for this week, what should we focus on?
Build now to build up that bench of career advocates. They're the ones that are going to be able to work with you for years, decades to come. Start now, but it only needs one or two people. Be open to having a mentor or two. Maybe something where you're going to have to investigate and figure out the style of the type of mentor you have, but definitely be open to it. And third, strive for growth opportunities. Stretch yourself in your 20s. Look for opportunities to expand your leadership skills, your problem solving, and that will serve you well. The compensation will follow because of those experiences that you have when you're searching for growth. And then just find a way to be involved on a volunteer basis within your professional associations, because now you build out new network nodes outside of your company. New opportunities expose yourself to people with different problem-solving styles, and I think that will benefit you as well long-term.
That's Joe McKenzie and strategies for the 2022 graduates. And again, congratulations to all of you. Joe McKenzie, great work at Ripple Connects.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
Well, that's our show for this week, and we have a very special thanks to all of our guests this week, including Leipold Sternbach, Joe McKenzie, epidemiologist Dr. Michael Osterholm, Kitty Harris from the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, Cassie Crandall, and of course you. We wouldn't have a program without you being there as well. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for making us a part of your week. And for everyone who's been a part of this one, this is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.